Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here. All right.
Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when the Wi-Fi doesn't reach all the way down to the basement. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
Only two. I think it's important.
Only one. One or two.
Yes. So, if you're listening to the podcast, and you may have missed the pre-show where we were discussing at great length the sort of legal responsibility that we hold as hosts of an advice podcast, a technology advice podcast. And I mean, the crux of that really is that we've put sage technology experts as a key thematic area for the podcast. And as I had just mentioned, at least four Supreme Court justices, I know for a fact, are regular listeners to the podcast. So we really have a high legal standard here. This is not just advice to help you and me, but also to help Chief Justice John Roberts. Mm-hmm. And so we wear that as a badge of honor, and we really do our best on this show to provide the best advice that we could possibly provide.
Yes, and he sent us quite a few questions as well. So
yeah, Chief Justice John Roberts, man, he's got a lot of questions. You'd think for a Chief Justice, he'd be able to get the Wi-Fi working in the basement, but you know, I guess you know everyone's got the problems. Even Supreme Court Justice Chief John Roberts is just like you and me. He needs a Wi-Fi extender. You know, it's the sort of stuff that happens to everyday folks like you and me.
Yep. Yeah, and with that, why don't we get into our first question? This question does not come from Chief Justice John Roberts, unfortunately. It does come from It Is Logical, who has sent us a lot of questions, a lot of very good questions as well. So this question has to do with something that has been in the news and the rumors a little bit lately, which is about Apple potentially adding some ports back to the Mac, because as you know, since 2016, we've been looking at USB-C and Thunderbolt 3, or maybe USB 4 lately, but other ports coming back to the Mac. What do you think about that, Luke, and what ports do you want to see back?
Well, first thing that I noticed is we were talking about Supreme Court Justice Chief Supreme Court Justice John Roberts. Now, we've received, dare I say, an avalanche of very good questions here from It Is Logical. Now, I do have to ponder just for a moment, isn't the whole point of the Supreme Court to sort of determine the logical consistency of laws?
Oh, I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, legally we can't draw any conclusions from this observation, but if you're listening or watching and you're sort of thinking, oh man, what if It Is Logical is actually Chief United States Supreme Court Justice John Roberts? I'm not saying that. I'm only reporting what you are probably thinking as sort of a logical conclusion. And I mean, I'm not one to, I can't dispute or confirm that hunch.
Right. We can just imagine. We can just think.
Yes. Now, we will imagine in our own heads, and I'll let you guys be the judge of that, but one thing that we won't have to imagine in our own heads for very much longer is the port selection on the upcoming generation of MacBook Pro. And we will also not have to imagine the way that I'm going to bring this back to the initial topic. Now, in terms of the ports that I would like to see, I mean, really, the number one
SD card.
It's really quite simple. SD card, I would also like an HDMI port. And apart from that, to be quite honest, I'm all right beyond that. What about you?
I will say SD card, not super applicable to me. Oh, geez. You think as a podcast host, I could pronounce words, but I'm still pretty new at this. Give me some time. But the SD card, not quite as applicable to me because I'm not a photographer or much of a video maker either. But obviously, you know, very thin, it could fit on the Macs. Other than that, to be completely honest with you, I want more USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 ports. I'd love to see a Mac with 6 or 8 of them because on the one hand, at this point, a lot of the stuff that I have is USB-C. And you can get, so like, I have a cable that's an HDMI on one end, USB-C on the other. Then I don't have to worry about HDMI or adapters or anything. Plug it into the TV or whatever you want to plug it into, and it's USB-C on the end. For my hard drive, I got one of those, you know, the weird hard drive cable that looks like a micro USB with the extra thing on it. I have a hard drive cable on one end that's USB-C on the other. So again, I don't need an adapter. I personally like now that there are all these USB-C and Thunderbolt ports. Obviously, you know, earlier on back in 2016, it was a little bit of a different story, but Apple had to be the first one to do it. And now that we're in 2021 and things are a lot better, my main issue is not the ports that I have. It's just that I don't have enough because very often I'll have, you know, all 4 of the ports will be in use and I would, you know, I wish that I would have more of them.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. I mean, in 2016, everyone kind of lost their marbles when they also lost their ports. And I mean, I said it at the time. Granted, I didn't say it to anyone because I had maybe 10 or 15 subscribers in 2016. That's a lie. It was maybe 150. But either way, there was no one really watching my channel back then. But even in like 2016 and 2017, when people were like, oh man, I really hate these no ports, I was saying, okay, we've said this every time Apple has done literally anything. I mean, you go back in time, DVD drive, that disappeared. Look at the switching from 30-pin to Lightning. Are you really mad about your 30-pin accessories anymore? If you can legitimately tell me that you're sitting there with your iPhone 6S to iPhone 12 and you're going, oh, God, I have my iHome from 2010 and it's just sitting there. I want to use it again. Then, well, you're lying. That's not true. And then even before that, you know, when Apple switched to MagSafe, people with the PowerBook charger got mad that they were going to have to get a new charger. On the iMac in 1998, people got mad that they didn't have a floppy drive. Like, these things happen all the time. Apple is, granted, very aggressive about it, and they tend to move a little bit faster than the market, or you could also argue that they move the market. Whichever one you choose to believe, I think, quite frankly, that it's a tough decision, but in the end, a good decision. Now, we're still kind of getting over the headphone jack thing on the iPhone. I'll admit, that one is still a little bit of a tough pill to swallow for some people. Personally, I'm okay, but that's because I'm a tech YouTuber, so I have AirPods Max, which is not really, you know, average consumer sort of stuff. But as far as the MacBook Pro, in 2016, if we had had these rumors, I would have been salivating at the thought of getting my SD card slot back. But really, at this point, USB-C is getting there, folks, and as soon as it becomes like, oh man, I will be so happy the day that every single TV ships with a USB-C video port, Plus the fact that, like, with monitors that have USB-C, they also charge the computer too. Like, tell me that's not the future. That's just, it's so obvious. So I'm not even mad about the ports. I just, like Noah said, I would like more of them. I mean, four is great. Two on the M1s is really cutting it close.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, what was it? Someone pointed out in the chat, mini HDMI port. Yeah, I'd rather have zero ports than a mini HDMI port, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing, right? Because if you have a mini HDMI port, you got to go out of your way to have a cable that works with it. And then what else is that cable going to work with? Like a Raspberry Pi, I think. And I can't think of anything else. But, you know, USB-C, you can get an adapter or you can get an actual cable. And you know that it's going to work with, if you have an Android phone, it would probably work with that. If you had a Windows computer, it'll work with that. I mean, that's the USB-C dream or the USB-C future.
Yeah, I honestly, and you know, I will totally be the first to admit that while we are moving in the right direction, we're not, you know, we're sort of in the middle of turning left, but we haven't quite completed the turn. We're still in the intersection. Maybe we've even stopped at the crosswalk and a couple of, you know, stragglers are still kind of crossing the street and we're waiting our turn. We're kind of, you know, a little bit impatient. It was a left turn and now there's cars coming the other way and you're like, oh, am I going to get out of the way in time?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a very valid metaphor. But I think, I mean, obviously I'm not going to get mad to have more ports. I will gladly take a USB type A port. I don't use them as much as I used to, but when I do use them, like, for example, right now I have a dongle plugged in to plug in my USB capture card. So if there was a USB type A port, that wouldn't be an issue. But I doubt that that's the port that we're talking about here. I mean, this is Apple. We have to keep that in mind. So the people who have these dreams of, like, you know, the, you know, those Windows laptops in the late 2000s that were literally just port transportation devices. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
I had this HP ProBook at some point that had like six USB ports. It had like compact flash SD card. It had a slot that you could put in, like, an identification card, like a key card to unlock
it. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you got your S-Video. You got multiple Kensington lock ports in case, I don't know, you want to make sure that someone doesn't steal one side of the computer. You got multiple display. Those things had, like, S-Video, VGA, HDMI, DVI. It was, like, 15 ports. It was amazing. Granted, they also had a dual core i5, but, you know, you had plenty of ports on those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at some point, first of all, Apple's not bringing back USB Type-A. They're not going to put a USB Type-A port on their computers. But then, like, I don't know, if you get a computer and you want, like, if you look at the computers, you look at Macs, and I think people tend to keep Macs for a while, right? And if do you really want to keep a computer? It's like when I had my 2011 MacBook Pro that I kept for like six years, I think I kept it for. And
yeah,
it had a FireWire port. And I never used that, not even when it was new. But like obviously by 2017 when I got a new computer, I wasn't using that port. Do you really want older ports that, you know, maybe you use them now, maybe you don't, but in a couple of years, you're not gonna want them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a great point because there are tons of people that in my subreddit are talking about buying and modestly upgrading older computers from like 2008 to 2012. Those are absolutely loaded with ports that people don't use. I mean, I would even make the argument that Thunderbolt and Thunderbolt 2 are getting close to falling into that category. The only times on my, like, for example, on a 15-inch Retina, like pre-2016 MacBook Pro, the only times I use Thunderbolt 2 are for, like, an Ethernet adapter or basically mm-hmm. just to provide a pathway to get another port that I don't have. I don't have any Thunderbolt 2 accessories. And so, like, with a with your example of a 2011 unibody MacBook Pro, any unibody MacBook Pro, let's run through the ports on that. So if you go on the right side, you got the CD DVD drive. The only thing that's useful for, to be quite honest, is taking out the CD drive and putting in another hard drive. You go along to the left side, MagSafe port. Okay, kind of need that. Then right below that is Ethernet. That, I'll admit, is nice to have, but by the way, is not coming back. And then you have FireWire, which, as Noah mentioned, is not particularly useful. And then I think they had one Thunderbolt port on those, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you got your two USB type A, which was USB 3.0 in 2012, but I believe it was USB 2.0 in 2011. And then what's after that?
Audio in,
after the USB is just SD card and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, audio in, audio out, and then SD. Yeah. To be quite honest, the only ports of that that are super duper useful for the vast majority of people are the two USB ports, the SD card slot, and the headphone jack. And the MagSafe, obviously, for charging. So I don't think that there's necessarily a need to have every single port on there. There's always going to be someone going, oh, wait a minute, my VGA monitor doesn't work with the brand new 2021 Apple Silicon MacBook Pro. And like, yeah, a lot of businesses still use VGA, but we have to keep in mind that Apple doesn't build for any sort of a niche. Mainstream, even like a Dell XPS isn't built for any specific niche. So it's not exactly surprising that they're not gonna be loaded up with ports from head to toe.
Right. Yeah, definitely a different story now compared to 2016 or even before that. It's definitely don't need the ports as much. Even if they do bring back SD card slot, fine. Even if they bring back HDMI, I'm not sure how often I would necessarily use it. But you know what? If they wanna, as long as they don't take away any USB-C ports, then
yeah, that's a big one.
By all means, they can put more ports on.
I'll tell you what, though, I would absolutely love to see 6 USB Type-C ports.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really awesome. And I mean, you kind of touched on something. In terms of the actual port selection, it's not even necessarily like how often are you going to use the port, but how inconvenient is it going to be when you do? So like for me with the SD card reader, I don't use it very often. But when I do want to use it, it's a real pain, especially because all the USB dongles are like really slow. I shoot on UHS 2 SD cards, which are pretty fast, but then by the time it's going over a dongle, it's not the full speed. It's very slow. So having like a UHS 2 built-in SD card reader, I guarantee, I mean, the number of videographers and photographers that use MacBook Pros, absolutely, that's a no-brainer. HDMI, I would also say, is probably a pretty safe bet. But beyond that, I would say 6 USB Type-C, an HDMI, and an SD card reader would satisfy most people.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I'd be curious to know, because I think on the current computers, you know, we have 2 or 4, and I think each pair of ports has like a controller that they're attached to. So if they were to go with 6, I guess they'd need a new controller that could accommodate 3 ports at once.
So
I'd be interested to know if they actually do that or not.
That's a really interesting point. Now, ooh, we're getting into murky territory here in terms of giving advice when we don't actually know how the technology works, but I'm not sure what the situation with the Thunderbolt controllers are now that we're moving to Apple Silicon.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, certainly in 2016 with the Skylake MacBook Pros, they had, you know, it's very specifically 2 Thunderbolt controllers. There's a left and a right, and it's pretty straightforward, but I don't know what the current situation is. So I think rather than wade into these legally dubious depths, in case Chief Justice John Roberts is in fact listening in, We wouldn't want to have, you know, maybe in the next court hearing of the Supreme Court, Chief Justice John Roberts is accusing someone and says, you don't even know how many Thunderbolt controllers are on a MacBook Pro. It's two. But then if it's wrong, that's on us. And then we're legally responsible for misinformation being spread at the highest court in the land. So we wouldn't want that.
Yeah, that's it's not too great there. I just want to point out, because there have been some comments. Oh, there's our friend Joe. What's going on, Joe?
Joe's trying to find Chief Justice John Roberts. We'll let you know if Joe Plavin is successful in finding Supreme Court Justice John Roberts.
But I do want to point out, though, there are some people saying in the comments, someone said, six USB Type-C, at that point, you're just building the dock into your laptop. And I think someone said, why would you want to have six USB-C ports in a laptop? Fair question. I will say, here's a situation that I ran into fairly recently. So I like to use my laptop. Basically, with my laptop, what I had, I have a 2018 15-inch, so it has four USB-C ports. But I have my
a
charger plugged
what?
In. MacBook Pro.
Wait, does it have the Core i9?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so that's a 15-inch toaster, my friend.
It does get very hot. I've never
For legal reasons, you have to specify that it's a toaster. I just want to make sure we're covering our bases here.
Oh, so it's legally considered a toaster and not a computer.
Yeah. It's actually sold in the same aisle as General Electric and Kohl's. Kohler, sorry, not Kohl's. That's a store. It's sold right next to all of your, you know, your typical microwave ovens and toasters and hot plates, especially. I think it's right above the hot plates. Yeah, so anyway, proceed.
That makes sense. Right, so my 15-inch toaster, right? It's maybe a little bit small for a toaster. I don't know. Maybe average size. You couldn't make too big of a meal in this toaster, but
Well, it's not a waffle iron. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
You could do a bagel. You could do a slice of pizza. You could do some toast, you know, classic toaster things. Mm-hmm. But anyways, in my 15-inch toaster, also known as a MacBook Pro, has four USB-C ports. I have my charger. I have a monitor. I have a DisplayPort cable. So I have a DisplayPort to USB-C adapter. And then I have my hard drive that I use for backup and keeping all my files. And that's three ports right there. And then usually I have one other port open, but sometimes if I have to charge something, I want to plug my iPad in to charge it there, or I want to plug in. I've been working with a lot of iPhones lately. I'm not going to go into too much detail there, but when I want to plug some iPhones into my computer for, you know, one reason or another, there's my fourth port, right? So when I have four of these ports, my typical setup, three of them are used up. And yes, I can eject my hard drive if I really need another port. It's kind of annoying. I like to leave it in so that it'll keep backing stuff up, whatever. I could eject it. But I will say that it's kind of nice to have open ports. And in fact, I went ahead and bought a Thunderbolt 3 hub. It was like an Anker, what was the brand?
I think it was Anker.
I think it was Anker, right? It was a Thunderbolt dock. It has a lot of ports on it. It has a couple USB-C, a couple USB-A. It has DisplayPort 2 HDMI, Ethernet, has an audio jack. It has an SD card reader. It has all this great stuff in it, and it's one cable, which is amazing, and it does the charging as well. So I will say that's something that's pretty amazing about Thunderbolt is I have all these ports, and I have one cable that goes into my computer. And the adapter, the hub thing does actually get pretty hot, but so far it hasn't caused me any issues. The computer charges fine. All the ports work. My display port works, and I get.
Hang on a second, Noah. We're having a.
Oh, I'm
we're
losing
having a,
you here.
We're having a bit of an internet issue here. Yeah, It seems to be having some internet communication issues here. I'm not sure if this is coming through on the podcast. This is deeply embarrassing if it is. I think we missed what you just said there, Noah. Are you hearing me all right?
I hear you fine. You were looking a little bit chunky there, a little blocky there about 15 seconds ago.
We actually went into dark mode Minecraft edition. I think that might have been on my end. But let's go ahead and just assume that that was on my end and that everyone heard what Noah said. So we'll just continue on. I apologize. I accidentally went into Minecraft mode there. This became a Minecraft Let's Play for a brief moment. And now I've saved my game. I've turned off my shaders, which were clearly hogging too much RAM. And we can get back into what Noah was talking about.
Yeah, it looks like everyone heard me fine, which is what we want here. So yeah, basically all I'm saying is I have this port. It's this hub. It's pretty amazing that you can have all of these ports that just have one cable. It does the charging. It passes, you know, all the data pass through. Everything works. I get my above 60 hertz on my monitor, which is pretty amazing. But I bought it because I was tired of always having, you know, of having all my ports filled up and not being able to plug stuff in. So for what it's worth, the people saying, why do you need 6 ports? Some people do, right? And the base model MacBook Air and the base model MacBook Pro, you know, the 13-inch or 14-inch or whatever, they're not going to have 6 ports on them. But when you get up to the 16-inch, the Pro models, pros want more ports, right? Pros want more than 4 ports. So there are absolutely people that will want more than 4 ports.
That's a good point. I think definitely... I mean, honestly, I think the whole 2-port thing, what kind of joke is that? Come on, 2 ports, 2 USB Type-C ports is not enough. I mean, just for an example here, my dongle is like a pretty, I was about to unplug it and show it, but then I'd lose my video feed, so I'm glad I didn't do that. It's like the standard, it's not like a wire dongle, it's like a flush dongle that sits at the side of the device. And it uses 1 port, but it blocks the other. So that's already taken up half your space there. Now, speaking, in fact, of taking up half your space, we've taken up half of your podcast space by talking about ports. And I think it's time for us to move on. Now, the next debate here, which was sent in by Curious Charisma, is really quite simple. Skeuomorphism. Now, this was something that Apple was very big on. I think really skeuomorphism kind of started in earnest in the OS X days and then shifted over to iOS. And then we've basically got rid of it for the most part from iOS 7 and then from OS X Yosemite. So it's been about 7 years that we've been living without skeuomorphism. So what do you think, Noah? Skeuomorphism, yes or no?
Well, Luke, I'm a listener of this podcast that may or may not exist that doesn't know what skeuomorphism means. Sounds like a fancy word. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, I mean, let's keep it very simple here. And by the way, I should note that what I'm doing right now is definitely not stalling while I Google the definition of skeuomorphism. Anyway, as I was going to say off the top of my head, a skeuomorph is a derivative object that retains ornamental design cues from structures that were inherent to the original. So, for example, you know, pottery embellishment with imitation rivets reminiscent of similar pots made of metal, or for example, a software calendar that imitates the appearance of binding on a paper desk calendar. And that was a really cool phrase that I, you know, that's sort of the what I tell people every time. In fact, I think it's actually so good that Wikipedia may have stolen it from me. So if you check that, then just know that, you know, I came up with that and they've probably stolen it right off the podcast, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, so skeuomorphism is basically the visual style that was really popular in the 2000s, where basically... you have software imitating life. So if you remember, what was it? iWeb. Do you remember how iWeb used to be like a cork board with stuff stuck into it?
Yep. That was classic. That's a classic. There's like the Notes app and the Reminders app And when I say app, I mean iOS and also on macOS. Yeah. They used to look like a notepad or a reminder. It was like a pad of paper. I remember Game Center used to look like a wooden board, like a game table, I guess, of some sort with the felt. There was the felt on it, so I guess like a poker table.
Was it a foosball table, maybe?
Some sort of a foosball table, poker table, something like along those lines. But yeah, that was the classic style. And then iOS 7 did away with it, and like you said, in Yosemite did away with it. I will say to give my opinion, it's definitely, I think I prefer the designs that we have now. Things are a bit more flat, I'd say, and a bit more simple, maybe a little bit more abstract. You know, you're not getting like a piece of paper or a foosball table or anything like that. I think I prefer what we have now. I was about to say that it looks more modern, but that's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy or something. Yeah. Like it is like, it's, you know, it's modern because that's what stuff looks like right now. But I will say the old design, like iOS 6, is such like a nostalgic, like a classic look, like the old, you know, skeuomorphic design. It's a classic look.
Absolutely. And I think that's actually exactly what I was about to say. I think that the fact that sort of the debate on skeuomorphism, the fact that it's coming up now, I think has almost nothing to do with the merits of skeuomorphism and absolutely everything to do with nostalgia. Because and Noah and I were talking about this earlier today when we were like, oh, we should get an old iPhone 3GS. And it's sort of this cycle of technology where it goes from current to outdated and like, ugh, old, let's get rid of this. And then it loops back around into nostalgia and it becomes cool again. Yeah. And I mean, you look at stuff like for example, when iOS 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 came out, it was like, oh man, this looks so much better than iOS 6. But now we just had an iPhone 4S that was, you know, just the one just kind of laying around that happened to have iOS 6 on it. And all of a sudden, when you're looking back on an interface that you haven't seen since September 2013, so 8.5 years as of this recording, it becomes a nostalgic feeling. For the first 4 years, it's good riddance, let's move on to something new. But once you get to 8, 9, 10 years, then it loops back around into nostalgia. So I think that's exactly why we are hearing people saying, ooh, bring back skeuomorphism, is because it's starting to trigger those nostalgia buttons in people's brains.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to mention something that I thought that you sort of brought up that I thought was interesting, was that you said when iOS 7, 8, 9 came out and how we said, you know, oh, these are, you know, so much better and so much more modern than iOS 6. Well, obviously now we think iOS 6 is a classic look. I'm going to be honest with you. I think iOS like 7 and 8 and maybe even 9 are a little bit rough. Like, you look at them, it's like the early days of the current design that we have. But I see things like the control center in iOS 7, I think is really ugly. It's like this weird, like, translucent gray, and the buttons are, like, way too thin, like the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. I don't know. I'm just thinking about, playing with some of these phones, you know, just casually, no reason. But, like, I don't know. The iOS 7, 8, 9, some of that stuff's a bit rough, a bit ugly to me. And obviously give it a couple more years and it'll be the classic, you know, first flat design. But at least for me right now, iOS 6 is classic in a way that iOS 7 and 8 and 9 just aren't yet.
That's a good point. And I think it's also worth wondering, will iOS 7 ever have the same nostalgic feeling? And I don't know that it will. See, the thing is, iOS 7... Okay, here's... If I may explain sort of psychologically what I think is going on here. iOS 6 is nostalgic because it's the last of a gone, it's a foregone era. iOS 7 looks like the first of the modern, and so it looks bad. I fully agree with you. Control Center on iOS 7 is a bit of a mess, okay, folks? It's like it's all square buttons, which are not intuitive. It's like translucent. It's just, it does not look good. Now, granted, it was also designed for square phones, big bezels. You know, I think once the new iPhone X design really helped iOS become a little bit more appealing, but certainly on older iPhones, older versions of the new style, they don't look good. But that's because it still looks like the old version of what's current. It doesn't have a nostalgic feeling because a lot of the icons look the same as right now. If iOS 15 came out and looked completely different, like it has a triangle-based interface, everything is concentrically stacked triangles, then in 8 years, you would look back on iOS 14 and you think, oh, wow. Remember when the icons were like little squares, like little chiclets? Now we got the triangles, and we love the triangles. Triangles are great. The 2020s are all about triangles. But I think it would be a similar story. And the reason that the nostalgia hasn't kicked in is because it's still quote-unquote current.
That's a good point you bring up. That's definitely true. I will say two things. First of all, I think it's kind of, when you think back, if you think, you know, iOS 6 has a nostalgic design, but if you go back a couple more versions, it's like very early iOS, first of all, there's not too much there. So maybe it's a little bit harder to be nostalgic. No wallpaper, for example. A lot of the stock apps, if you go back to the very beginning, there's no app store. So iOS 6 being the last of that era is, you know, definitely gives it an edge or makes it more nostalgic in some way. But I do like your triangle idea, because I'm just imagining the home screen. You could sort of, you know, if the icons are triangles, and if you have half of them facing, you know, with the tip up and half with the tip down, you can, you know, put them next to each other, and you got some pretty good information density. You could fit quite a few triangles on your screen.
Exactly. I mean, I think one of the things that we're gonna figure out in the next year or two in terms of design cue is that look at these little square idiot apps sitting there. They got all sorts of space in between them, and you know, you got your wallpaper in the background. It's nonsense. I'm sort of envisioning a wall-to-wall Tetris of triangles that are stacked in various different ways. Like, for example, so the way you've just described is you have, let's say you've got your bottom row with points facing up, and then the row above that is points facing down, so they nest inside each other, and then the next row is points facing up again, and then you've sort of got some diamond-shaped icons that can be like larger for widgets.
Right,
you could have a diamond shape, and then you could sort of stack those and customize them to no end. I mean, right now, let's see. I'm pulling out my iPhone 12 Pro Max. Not that anyone cares. And what do we got? It's a 4x1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 grid with a row of four along the bottom. So that's not that many apps. Think how much more you could fit with triangles.
Yeah, you could fit a lot more apps, a lot more widgets. I'm just thinking about the messaging app. If we used triangles instead of speech bubbles, you could really fit quite a few messages together on your screen.
It would also be really great, because then you could sort of, I think that sort of lends itself to haikus. So the main form of communication, we're sort of moving away from emojis, which are really circular, really last gen, if I might say so. And we're sort of moving into this new triangle age where expressions are more well done through, gotta say, triangles. It's the way to go. It's the way to go. I mean, think of it this way. What if the keys for your letters were also triangular?
You know, that's interesting, because a lot of, there are some keyboards, you know, third-party keyboards or Android keyboards that have like the number row above the letters. If you made them triangles, you could fit more rows in there. You could get numbers, you could get symbols in there. You could get a much more efficient keyboard that way.
And let's also not forget that, you know, I think triangles would look really well. I have now noticed that we do have a triangular pattern behind us, which I think is very telling. And this obviously will not come across if you're listening to the podcast, so you got to tune in next Sunday at 9 p.m. so that you can see what we're talking about. But in the back here, we've got some very interesting geometric triangle-based patterns, and I think that's really where the future is headed. So, I mean, think of it this way. 6 years from now, when everyone's triangling each other, that's what we'll call messaging by that time. It rolls off the tongue much better than like texting or iMessage. Everyone will be triangling each other, and they'll wonder, gosh, how did we ever use squares in the past? It was so rudimentary.
Yeah, I will leave it with one last thought here, which is,
okay,
I believe that a triangle is the strongest natural shape, right?
That is correct.
You got your three sides. A triangle's been around forever, classic. You know, you look at your, what are pyramids if not three-dimensional triangles?
True.
You know, but you look at this, a triangle is the strongest shape. And I think it provides a very solid foundation for the next. I was going to ask a couple minutes ago, I was going to say, you know, iOS made a pretty big shift from 6 to 7 in the visual design. I was going to ask what's next? Is there going to be a next? But I think we've absolutely figured that out.
And let's, if I may, we could even apply this triangle theorem to the design of the phone, because I think if you've been around for the past 7 years or so, you've probably seen a video on YouTube along the lines of, will it bend? Now, that's an interesting one, because I believe if you were to construct an iPhone out of a series of triangles, it would probably be stronger and less likely to bend. So that, I think, is pretty clear that that's the future and that's where we're headed. But until then, we need to focus on something else. Now, I think this will probably be our final topic for today, looking at the time. This is actually a question that came in not from one of our viewers, but in fact from a friend of mine. Now, obviously, we're going to say all this scenario without revealing any personal information, but this individual has
been...
Well,
this individual, hang on a second. You said a friend of yours, so we can assume this individual is either me or does not exist.
Okay, very funny. I see what you did there. So I guess, I suppose by your logic, then this person does not exist. So
it's
essentially... Yes. So the person in question, or not in question, if you're to believe Noah's line of questioning, has been in a long-term relationship for a while, and recently received as a gift a MacBook from their significant other. This was an upgrade for their old MacBook, which has been suffering for a little bit, and the significant other bought them a new one very recently. However, even more recently, they have since broken up. So this is a very difficult scenario. And basically, this person is wondering what course of action would be appropriate. Do they keep the MacBook, take the W, and just kind of run away with it? Do they return the MacBook as a gesture of goodwill and as a sort of a way to get rid of something that is going to remind them of this person, let's be honest? Or do they grab another dub and sell that MacBook for that sweet, sweet cash and then use the cash to purchase a computer of their choice, perhaps even a similar MacBook? Now, this is a very interesting question. So before I say what I was thinking, why don't you go ahead, Noah? What are your initial thoughts on the situation at hand?
I have to go back for 1 second because someone made such a good comment. They said for our triangle phone idea, Triphone as the name.
Oh.
I had to, I hate to go back, but I had to give that one some
I'm
credit.
Almost embarrassed that we didn't think of that. I'm really, really rather ashamed. And I think Chief Justice John Roberts will probably be displeased with us for that one.
Yes, but I had to, whether we came up with it or not, I felt like it deserved to be said.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But to get back to the question at hand, first of all, Luke and I are the premier relationship experts on here. We're not just tech gurus. We know everything from, we have so much experience, and you're going to have to take our word for it because how else are you going to know? But we have so much experience in this realm. We probably should have made our podcast about relationship advice rather than tech advice, but we ended up doing tech advice. Yeah. So I'm glad that we could kind of mix them together here.
Yeah. I mean, I just have to say this is completely not relevant at all, but I've dated so many women, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a fact. And by me saying that without you, you can't question how many people I've dated. It's canon now. That's how canon works. So legally, John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts is here and he says that's legally binding. So we are not only technology experts, but relationship experts as well,
yes.
Which I suppose doesn't necessarily help us all that much because in this particular situation, they're no longer in a relationship and that's sort of the crux of the problem.
That is true, but I've been through my fair share of breakups, maybe even more than my fair share. I mean, I've been in so many now. But
so
anyways,
many.
Yes. To get to the crux of the matter. So I don't actually know this person. It's Luke's friend, imaginary or otherwise, but I don't know this person. I don't know the situation. So if you don't mind me asking, how long were they in the relationship? And how long before the breakup was the Mac given as a gift?
Yes, I think those are the biggest questions that I would have as well. Now, obviously, when I was presented with this information, my immediate thought was, oh, podcast, yes. But my secondary thought was, okay, this is probably not something that I should be sort of mining for info. So as far as I'm aware, significant amount of time, about a year.
Okay.
So nothing like crazy long, but not insignificant either. I mean, obviously, if you're buying a brand new MacBook for someone that you've been seeing for 4 months, then that's maybe on you. But so about a year, and to my knowledge, the MacBook gift giving and the breakup were within a month, maybe 3 weeks. So pretty close. Although now that I say it out loud, outside of the return window for a MacBook.
Oh, are you saying something about the receiver of the gift and maybe some intentions they might have had?
I don't know anything about the reason for the breakup. I don't know whose fault it was, which I feel like might also be helpful in coming up with a solution. But I suppose in the interests of being broadly applicable to a wide array of people who might be listening to this and have also either given or been given a MacBook within a month of being broken up with, I suppose my initial thoughts are take that W. You just got yourself a free MacBook and you don't have to give anything in return. Think of it that way. There's no expectation of a return gift. You don't have to be like, oh, well, I got you an iPad Pro. You know, it's you just got yourself a free MacBook. It's a get out of jail free card. What do you think?
It's interesting. First of all, I would trade an iPad Pro for a MacBook just purely based on the price. If someone gave me a MacBook and I gave him, you know, a new MacBook, right? And I gave him an iPad Pro, I think, you know, monetarily speaking, pretty solid trade. But
true.
I I don't know, because you say that you want to be as broadly applicable as possible. And obviously, that's what we want to be. We want to reach the biggest audience possible. But I'm just having trouble imagining how you go from being at a place where you give a MacBook, a brand new MacBook, expensive gift to someone, 3 weeks later or a month later, however long it was, you break up. Like, that seems like, to me, seems like kind of a short range. And maybe in some cases it isn't. But I would be curious to know what happened during that fairly short time span to go from such a good place to such a bad place. Because I think that would sort of change my answer, you know, depending on how things shook out.
I think that's a fair point. Now I don't know the specifics, and I'm not really one to pry, so we'll be forever left guessing on that. But if I may, we could sort of play out a couple of scenarios. So how about this? If you're in the situation, let's say you are the receiver of the MacBook. And the person who gave it to you is at fault for apparently a very severe infraction so as to cause the end of such a relationship. I believe at that point you are entitled sort of as damages to said MacBook. And I think at that point you should celebrate that you've come out of the situation as the moral and monetary victor.
It's interesting. I guess, yeah, I mean, if someone, here's the thing. If someone gives you, you know, your significant other, they give you a gift. You know, they gave you the gift. It's yours. It's yours to keep. And, you know, depending on the situation, I don't know if there was a gift given in return. I don't know if there was like a birthday or a milestone involved. I don't know the reason necessarily for the gift to have been given. But I think once you exchange a gift, it's sort of been done. And I guess regardless of whatever happens, it's, you know, you can definitely make the argument that it's yours to keep, whether, you know, in some cases more so, right? If the person breaks up with you, if they give you a Mac and then a couple weeks later they break up with you, or they cheat on you and you have to break up with them, obviously you're going to be more in the right. Now, if you get the MacBook and then you break up with them, or you get the MacBook and then something happens and it's your fault, I don't know. Because on the one hand, yes, you did get it as a gift, and they can't legally take it away from you, right? It's legal advice. They can't take it away from you. But can they, you know, should you keep it, I think, is the question there.
Well, I think if you, let's say if you're in the shoe of the gift giver, you've given someone a MacBook and then you've really screwed the pooch and caused the end of that. Congrats, folks. You're out of MacBook. You have absolutely no claim to that. If you're at fault and you're the one that gave the MacBook, ooh, that's a bad spot to be in. You really got to reevaluate what you've been doing there. Now, if let's say hypothetically you're the one receiving the MacBook and you're also to blame for the end of the relationship, that is where I think it could get a little bit more tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think here's the thing. Legally speaking, in terms of like ownership, if you got the thing as a gift, you know, it's yours. It's yours. You own it. I think the moral question is more interesting, and especially so if the person who gave you the computer wants it back. If they say, look, I just gave this to you, but now we broke up, I want it back. You know, there's the question of, are you going to take it upon yourself to give it back or keep it? But then what if the other person asks for it back? You know, what do you do in that case?
Again, if the person asks for it back, but they're also the reason why the relationship ended, then you just go right ahead and block them. They have absolutely no claim to your heart or your MacBook. If you, as the receiver, did in fact cause the termination of the relationship, I feel like, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but if that were the case, I would be so ridden with guilt that I would probably give it back as, if nothing else, a token of apology and saying, like, yeah, that's really my fault. And you know, I can't fix what I've done, but I can give you your MacBook back outside of the return window. So, I mean, it's not great, but I mean, I feel like if you're the blame holder and the gift receiver, and it's that close, you gotta just give it back. Now, I also have to say, before we continue with this discussion, I'm noticing a lot of people in chat telling me that my camera is very low quality, and I do wonder what exactly is expected of me to remedy the situation. Like, are you all expecting? No, I had the bad quality button on.
Yeah.
Oh man, let me just flick the switch and into 8K mode, and now we'll be all good. Not a whole lot I can do about that, folks. So I'm sorry, but that's pretty much just the way it's got to be.
It is useful to know so that we will have to get better capture cards for next week's show, hopefully.
Which we've acknowledged many, many times.
Yes, yeah, so we will fix it. But for now, Luke is just imagine you've taken your glasses off. For those of us who wear glasses, imagine you've taken your glasses off, and you know, Luke looks a little bit fuzzy, but it's probably better that you don't see him in such high quality. And you can.
I was about
to
say that's exactly what I was thinking. If you just put like an index card over my side of the screen, that's probably your best bet, regardless of the quality of the camera. Now, in terms of the quality of the morals of the person who is in possession of this MacBook, I'm going to go ahead and just make a claim, a broad sweeping claim, which is a good thing. No one has ever gotten into trouble for making a broad sweeping claim, unless you are the person who is at fault at the end of a relationship. That gift is yours, and you can just move on. I think it's pretty simple.
I will say, overall, I agree with you. For me personally, if it were my fault, obviously, I would feel the need to give it back. Even if it were a mutual thing, both people decide that they'd be better off, you know, not seeing each other anymore. I still feel like, for me personally, I'd probably end up giving it back. If you kept it, I'm not going to judge you, all right? But in my personal case, I would keep it. Or at the very least, I would work out some sort of visitation system. You know, I get every other weekend, and they get to keep it for most of the time. You can work something out like that. Keep the friendship alive. Hopefully, you know, if you're going your separate ways, if you can end things amicably, you know, for the sake of the MacBook, you know, every other weekend, you know, you can spend some quality time with it.
Yeah, and you could maybe, like, the way that you've said it there, you could kind of partition the SSD 60-40 to reflect the amount of time that you have, you know, visitation rights with the MacBook. Maybe every other day you pick it off the charger after it's all charged up, and then you sort of entertain it. And then the next day you kind of drop it off at the charging school, and then the other person gets, you know, you can sort of figure out a cohabitation situation with the MacBook. What if you created a new user account, and then it could be a bilingual MacBook, and then you'd have a special, just like a little special connection that only you have with the MacBook, and the other person doesn't have that special extra layer of bonding with the MacBook that you have.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, these MacBooks grow up so fast. When you talk about the average lifespan of a Mac, you know, 6-7 years at the maximum, but even a lot of people don't keep them for that long necessarily.
It's really a shame.
When you've got such a short lifespan like that, you really want to be there for your Mac, right? Because then, you know, come 5 years, you want to see your Mac. You know, it's at the end of its life at that point. Maybe it's moving on to that great Apple store in the sky, right? And you're gonna regret that you didn't spend more time with it. And so I think it really is important to see your MacBook, to work something out for the good of the MacBook.
For the good of the MacBook. I mean, do you really want to miss its first software upgrade? That would just, it's tragic. It breaks my heart when people miss their first software upgrade. I mean, personally, I like to really be there and nurture my MacBook. I'm there for the first public beta, that, you know, their first little baby steps as it sort of begins to modernize just a little bit. And then, you know, that first software upgrade is just really such a sense of pride, as you see what your MacBook is growing and flourishing, and it's just beautiful, and you would hate to have, you know, an argument over the MacBook. MacBooks, you don't want to have it witnessing any of this stuff. It's best really to compartmentalize. Let your MacBook live its best life and really become who it is meant to be. And your job is really to facilitate that process.
Absolutely. You got to be there for the good times, software updates and daily life. But you also got to be there for the bad times. When you need some surgery, you take it to the hospital, also known as the Genius Bar, to get it looked at. You know, hopefully things turn out all right. There's very, very good. I would argue that the healthcare system for Macs is better than the healthcare system for people, at least here in the United States. But you got to be there for the good times. You got to be there for the bad times. Maybe it's more of a commitment than you would have thought when you go to the Apple Store to pick up a Mac. But it really is, you know, it really is. It's a companion. It's a life companion for you. And you got to be there for it. You can't let a silly relationship, petty argument, get in the way of that.
That's a great point. And speaking of having to be there, you really have to be here with us on Dark Mode to really get the experience. So if you're listening to this, great, fantastic. I hope you've had a wonderful time. Consider dropping by our live streams every once in a while. We have a lot of fun recording them. Even though most of it seems to be me just getting yelled at for having a bad capture card in the chat. But regardless, it's fun. You can come and yell at me too, and you can see what everyone was talking about. And, you know, it's really great just being here with everyone, just getting continuously dunked on by absolutely everyone. It's a great feeling. But right now, the feeling is really of closure, because this episode of Dark Mode has come to an end.
Yes, indeed it has. And it's been a great time. You know, we have some great discussions. We had a couple of laughs. I didn't count the exact
legally,
number.
Legally, we're only allowed to have a laugh or two.
Yes.
So if you had more than two laughs, please write to us at submissions@darkmodepodcast.com. And that's where you can redirect any legal inquiries for our misrepresentation therein of the number of laughs. And also, I should say legally that that was a joke, and please do not do that because I'll be very scared. But anyway, Chief Justice yes. John Roberts was in the chat. I think that's not a claim that I'm making. That's one that I've noticed, you know, word on the street is. So big shout out to Johnny Boy for joining us today and every day. I hear that John Roberts is a regular here, and so too should you be a regular to Dark Mode Podcast.
Very smooth, yes, yes. Very so you smooth. Should you should join us on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern. A little bit before as well for our pre-show. We're live on Luke's channel. You can also find us on your favorite podcast service. Go to drkmodepodcast.com to find the link for that, or you can just search for it. If you don't see us there, you can let us know. And if you have a topic that we could talk about, you can also let us know by emailing submissions@drkmodepodcast.com. And that email address is on the website as well. So drkmodepodcast.com is the place to go.
Yep, if you've got anything at all technology related that you're looking for advice on, definitely be sure to hit us up. And that is going to do it for this episode of Dark Mode. I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I have been your host, Noah Rubin. Thanks so much for joining us for episode 3, and we'll see you next week.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.